good to have an opportunity to attempt again to bring a lesson from the Word of God. And I hope as we study together this morning that the things that we study will be beneficial to each of us. We could go in several different directions on the scripture that was read this morning in our hearing. When he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable in God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes on and points out that he would encourage all of us to think in such a way that we would not be thinking too highly of ourselves, to be lifted up with pride and to condemn ourselves before God, because as we realize our dependence on Him, we should be humble before Him as we walk before Him. So I want us to think about that this morning, thinking too highly of yourself. And I'm not saying this that any of us might do that, but there is a tendency for us as human beings sometimes to give our credit, ourselves more credit than is due. And so we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And this sometimes causes us to look down on others. And we need to be very careful along that line. So I want to point out some things that thinking too highly of yourselves will do. And first of all, it will cause you to minimize your need for God. We'll just let him lay there for a while. Couldn't stand on his own. It'll cause us to minimize our need for God. So we know how much we depend on God and how much we need God. Matthew 5 and verse 3 said, blessed are the pure, or blessed are the lowly, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are lowly in heart, those who are humble, those who don't think too highly of themselves, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In Proverbs, third chapter, here the preacher, or Solomon, as he points out some things to us, how we should feel about ourselves and how we should be, he points out this to us in the third chapter, beginning with verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. So don't think too highly of yourself. I brought a lesson some time ago about how blessed we were to be the offspring of God. But we still are taught in the scriptures to be humble and not to think above that which we should think. In the 17th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Athenians on Mars Hill, pointed out some things concerning their worship of idols. And he starts with an idol that they have there that is, the inscription on it is, to the unknown God. He said, whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So beginning with verse 24, he said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing thee is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So everything that we have, the very breath that we breathe, in him we live and move and have our very being. So if we can understand this, it causes us to be more humble and to realize our dependence upon God. But if we think in highly, more highly of ourselves than we ought to, we're going to minimize our need for God. We feel like we can make it on our own. We don't really need anyone. And certainly that's not the case. When we leave God and fail to have him in our lives, we can do nothing of any worthwhile means, that is. In John, the 15th chapter, the first few verses, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and withers, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In him we live and move and have our being. And so he's saying, just like we are connected to the vine, or that the limb is to the vine, we are to Christ. And when we think too highly of ourselves and feel like we don't need the Lord, that we don't need God, that we can make it on our own, then we are certainly in dangerous waters. In Luke the 12th chapter, there's a parable there that I want us to look at. Luke 12, beginning with verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The thought that I want us to see in this, he didn't say anything about God's blessings that he had received and these goods that he has. I have this. And if you notice, I is always the one that has done all these things. I've got much goods laid up. I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And God's left out of his life. And so God says, you're a fool, because you don't realize that even this night your soul may be required of you. Then what good is these things going to be to you? And who will be the recipient of these blessings that you have provided for? So again, when we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, we minimize our need for God. Not only that, but we reject the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. You know, some people just can't understand the Bible because it's too simple. And they can't bring themselves down to the point to where they can look at it and really grasp or comprehend what God has said. Paul would say in Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I realize and understand the power of God's word to move and change people into what God would have them to be. And so I don't want to minimize or look at it and say, well, you know, it's not all that important. And that's what sometimes people do. They can't accept the simplicity of the gospel. I want to read several verses, beginning in verse 18 in 1 Corinthians. It kind of gives us the idea of what we're talking about. Paul said, for the preaching of the gospel, or the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputers of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he goes on and talks about how God has used certain things to bring to naught things that exist. And so when men begin to think too highly of themselves, then they can't begin to grasp or comprehend the Word of God. They reject the simplicity of God's Word. Not only that, but another great sin is that we become indifferent to the spiritual values that the Word of God holds for us. We become indifferent to the spiritual values that the Word of God teaches. And when we do it, we see a society like we see around us today. And I've been here a long time, and I've never seen the morals as corrupt as they are in the world today. And why is it? Because God's Word doesn't mean anything to people. They think too highly of themselves. They make their own decision as to what type of life they want to live and how they live, and they don't want no one saying anything to them, and they don't want to be reminded from God's Word. When Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. And so here he says that the science falsely so-called, they are professing themselves, in a sense, to be wise, and they set aside the Word of God in their doing such. In Romans, the first chapter, there is a description given of the Gentile world. And to me, it's a look like looking into a mirror and seeing what's going on in the world today. I want you to think what he's saying here. Romans 1, beginning with verse 18, and I want to read a good bit. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness," of the newer translation says, suppresses the truth and unrighteousness, "because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through their own lust, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship, and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malignness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And look around you today. Not only do you see all of this, but you see people who, in a sense, promote it and have pleasure in it and make jokes about it. And it's fun to see that lifestyle that is abhorred by God. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 5. Chapter 6. Beginning with verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This, when he said the effeminate, in most translations says homosexual. Abuses themselves of mankind as sodomites. And he goes on and points out that even these people could be saved if they would, if they'd turn from it. So they say, oh, we can't have power of sale. No, that's not so. That's not in keeping with God's word. And sometimes when we think too highly of ourselves, we reject the moral standards that's taught in the Word of God. This nation was built upon the principles of the Bible. And we have gotten so far away from it till this, it's a shame when we think about everything that is going on today. And I remind you of what our Lord said in Matthew 16 and 26. He said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What if you gain everything, all the pleasure that's out here in this world, and you have everything that your eyes desire, sees, and that your heart desires? What good is that going to do you when you lose your soul and spend eternity in hell? And so, don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We fail to follow the high example of Christ when we do that. In 1 Peter 2 and 21, Peter points out that hereunto you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. In Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that same type of attitude and spirit and disposition of heart that Jesus had? He leaves heaven, the presence of God, and comes to this earth for about 33 years and is ridiculed and suffers and dies and offers himself up, not for something he's done, but for what you and I have done, to make it possible for us to be saved and to have eternal life in the after a while. Humility, long-suffering, gentleness, all the characteristics and traits of Christ, would to God that all of us had those within our lives that we might be like Him. we'll meet with destruction when we think too highly of ourselves. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verses 18 and 19. It said, pride goes before. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Think about what he says. It's better for us to be of a lowly spirit and to be with the people of lowly spirit than to divide the spoil with those arrogant and high-minded people that sometimes causes us to forget the way that we should be walking in this life. In Acts, the 12th chapter, verses 21 through 23, and upon a certain a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory. Because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten with worms and gave up the ghost. Some of the commentators that talk about this says that he had the garments was such that when the sun hit it, that it just let off sparkles and glows and all. And he comes out before the people and makes this orientation to them. And they say it's a god and not a man. But he didn't stop it. You remember what Peter said when they began to fall down before him? "Get up. I'm a man. I'm just like you. I'm a man." When we think too highly of ourselves, we'll meet with destruction. It will come sooner or later. And last of all, God will reject us on the day when we stand before Him. Again, going back to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16 says, "These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." God hates a proud look. He hates that spirit of those who think too highly of themselves and not in the way that they should. Look at Luke with me, the 18th chapter. Verses 9, beginning. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The publican stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How do you think of yourself? It may well determine where you spend eternity. Do you think you have no need for God or for Christ? Do you think that His Word is foolishness? And do you think the high example that He set before us shouldn't be followed? All the things that we've talked about, we need to run it through our mind and see where we stand. Do I think more highly of myself than I ought to think? If so, when I stand in the presence of God, I'm not going to be able to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joys of the Lord. We haven't said anything about the plan of salvation, but the Word of God teaches that we must hear His Word. And when we hear it, we must believe it and then put it into practice. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of our sins and confessing Him before man that He might confess us before His Father. And then be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, that He might forgive you. And then live faithful after you've been raised from the water grave of baptism, a new creature. Live faithful to the teaching of His Word. Don't think too highly of yourself, because it'll cause you to minimize your need for God and His Word. Live the life that God has directed through His Word, and heaven can be yours and after a while. Don't ever give up. Things we talked about a little bit this morning about Paul. The Apostle Paul went through a lot for his conviction and for the cause of Christ. And he could say when life was over, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. If you're here this morning and you're subject in any way to our Savior's invitation, will you come